suffering is an essential ingredient of the life that we humans are living. Running away from it, impossible. The pain is running faster. Yeah, the suffering runs faster than you. It's gonna come back again. There's only one way, I really think it is. You need to push through. Kung Fu training, walking through the valley of pain. That's how is it known. You must take your life into your hands. Everybody more or less knows this maybe, but knowing is not enough. The practical way, with the proper methods, this is what it's actually all about.
I think a lot of people invest in the wrong results, the fame, the success, the money, and all these kind of things. How do you avoid investing in that, but also have ambition to achieve your goals?
Welcome back to Inspire Change with Jordan Mulligan. And today we have our second Tea Talk podcast episode with Master Shihong Yi of the Shaolin Temple Europe. This was one of my favorite conversations from our pilgrimage to the Shaolin Temple Europe this year. Also, I have a super exciting announcement for you guys today. My brother William has finally published his book, Simple Rules for a Good Life. This is a Stoic guide by William Mulligan, the everyday Stoic, and it is out today. Yes, as you are listening to this right now, is the release date of the book, The Everyday Stoic by William Mulligan. Please, guys, go check it out. This is so many people's dreams to become a published author, and William achieved it with this unbelievable book. William bridges the gap between Stoic philosophy and everyday life and how to apply all of these lessons, all of these teachings from some of the greatest philosophers of the human race throughout history. And he bridges the gap and how to apply that to your everyday life. This book is for everyone. And if you want to dive into Stoicism, it's even better. Like if it's something that you've thought about before, please, please, please go check it out. It will change your life. Go down below and find the link where you can buy it on Amazon. And also the audiobook will be coming soon as well. Thank you to anybody who supports the Mulligan Brothers. It does mention the Mulligan Brothers story in it also. I'll stop jabbering about it. I am very, very proud of him though. That's why I wanted to talk about it. Today's episode was also sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food with everything that your body needs. Get exclusive discounts down below. Thank you to Huel for sponsoring the podcast. Let's dive into this amazing episode with Master Shihong Yi, where we go through again a tea talk. We talk about the traditions of tea and Shaolin philosophy and what Master Shihong Yi has been getting up to this year. Let's dive into it.
Okay, so
free talk, yeah.
Free talk. More relaxed. And we're just drinking tea. I'm more nervous than you. We're just drinking tea and we're going to recap sort of the year. And yeah, we'll just have tea, have a little chat over tea, and I guess recap the start of year three, I guess, which is quite wild to think we're back for the third year.
Yeah. I mean, last year when we met, I told you already I was thinking about backing down a bit. I tried. I did indeed. I also backed up, but the requests keep on coming in. So like I said, I was just selecting more carefully to who to team up with, because at the end of the day, meanwhile also like the book getting published and stuff, people ask me why exactly the book. Well, it's not why exactly the book. For me, it has always been the wish. I think there is something which is worth to know, and regardless of which channels nowadays we are using to get to the people. So that means, on the one side, we are teaming up and you are reaching so many different people through the social media. But other people, they just like to listen to podcasts. So without like seeing something, so that's also existing. Then other people join us for the training itself here in the monastery. Sometimes we go out having workshops in locations when people invite us. Some people like to read. So there are simply different entrances, but to one and the same path. And that path is, you must take your life into your hands.
I love that.
Yeah. And everybody more or less knows this maybe, but but knowing something and then also having the ability to really do it, meaning to possess the right methods in putting into place what you think is needed. You know, this is the other truth, so has always been. Knowing is not enough. The practical way, with the proper methods. This is what it's actually all about. Yeah. And so that meant for me, anyway, I have something with numbers. This year was like something very weird with numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And number three, no, past, present, future. Number three, heaven, man, earth. So, and that also meant number three, I have to meet you the third time, 100%. There was no question about that.
It worked out perfectly as well. I think timings, you just flown back from Russia?
From Montenegro.
Montenegro, you're off to Russia. And I think I just got back. Where did we just get back from? New York. And it just worked out perfectly. And it's the same time of year again. Seems to always be towards December time. And yeah, we're super excited. You know, we had, from each time we've been here, we've had a profound response from everybody, you know. And one of the biggest, we put a questionnaire thing out just before we came here. And the biggest thing that people wanted to ask you, it was a question. We said, what do you want to ask Master Shihangyi? And they said, instead of asking a question, can we just thank him for all the wisdom, the messages, the teachings? And that's across the board, right? From everybody, we've kind of had that. They wanted to thank the Shaolin Temple Europe, the teachings. So yeah, I mean, what's the experience been like in terms of the difference from the Shaolin Temple over the last 3 years? Because I know you're traveling all around the world now. You're trying to reach people through different mediums, the book's out. We've got another full class here today, this morning, working out in the freezing cold. And yeah, just interested in sort of what the difference has been over the last 3 years since you've really started to push forward into international space.
So on the one side, when we, let's say, receive the registrations for people coming here, we just see simply it's coming more and more international people. So when we actually started, people knew us here in Germany. So it was mainly German speaking, also the classes. But then also throughout the years, more and more international guests are coming from all over the world. So this is like the most obvious sign how international everything actually has become. And the more important part is for me that wherever I travel and whoever like is coming, there is something common meanwhile about the people that we meet, you know? Especially in Buddhism, I mentioned before, we don't have something like a mission in that sense. If somebody doesn't want to hear about these things, I don't push these teachings on somebody. You can only receive answers and also receive insights from everything that we talk about, from everything that we share, if you ask the question. And so that means when I see that huge amount of people like also accessing all the content that you have provided, that only means for me, okay, apparently there are so many people meanwhile in this world who are asking questions. Not just question about themselves, but I mean, we are now end of 2023. You just need to look out in the world. What's going on there? It's becoming questionable, 100%, where all of this is leading, where all of this is heading towards to. The more you really take a look at what is in your surroundings, what is really happening, the more you start to maybe realize, okay, without wasting time, what is my part in that whole play?
I mean, this last year, thank you. This last year, the world has been in turmoil. There's been since we met, it's been that way. You know, we met just after lockdown, I think, the first time around, right?
Yes.
And then this year, it's been, it's been pretty crazy. I mean, without getting into the politics of everything, I mean, what's sort of been your outlook this year in terms of what's going on around the world and what you're finding people are asking for more this year?
I understand more and more why, especially in, let's say, Buddhist communities or in this order life, there's like one rule: you are not supposed to engage in political discussions or political discourses. I absolutely understand why, because it is really, really difficult to take one side, because the truth, in a way, never lies in the obvious. And that makes it also really difficult also to see when you just feel that the world is getting into fractions, no matter what type of fractions, but fractions in terms of this is the way to do and this is the way not to do. Yeah. And so what I just see as a general principle is that there are more and more forces displaying the separation in this world. So, and if you don't pay attention to this, what's going to happen is, well, you're going to base your perspective, how you look into the world, based on separation. But this is exactly why we are trying to do this since so many years, as the counterforce. Because separation just means the one does not have to do anything with the other. But this is not the way. Yeah, very clearly, like this is impossible to even move on somehow into the future, as long as something like this is existing between the people. So, and that means that on different levels, also the Shaolin Temple in China, all organizations that somehow have to do with Shaolin are trying to contribute in the way that they have power of. And this means, for example, inside the training, very basic, it doesn't matter what nationality you have, doesn't matter what belief system you have, doesn't matter what you think is good or is not good, in the training it's the same. In the training what matters is how much can you stand above yourself. This is the separation. Constantly being put into that place, giving up, go on. Giving up, go on. So, of course, it has something to do with suffering. For you, for us to grow, we have to suffer. Okay? So, and exactly this same way of suffering that derives from the training, from the physical training, now it's the same, like we have political discussions, you have your opinion, I have my opinion, and you don't want to adapt your opinion to mine. Yeah, the reason why do I want to put my opinion on yours is because maybe I suffer because of it. Because I want to be right. And if I'm not right, I will suffer. I want to be right. This is also, it's a different type of suffering. But something about it is the same, like just in the training. If I continuously start separating ourselves and trying to put my world into the heads of other people, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. So there is something about take care of your own business. Yeah. And this is where I see more and more people, first of all, ask for it. And now also comes at the same time the responsibility after we have talked about it, initiating these type of accesses for the people. Now I absolutely think it is also for everybody who has that type of reach right now, who has that type of audience right now. Now it's really important. What is it that you're really sharing out? Mm-hmm. And that means now the thing is, it needs to be real. It needs to be the real knowledge, not the superficial knowledge anymore. In the beginning, things are like, we need to make it attractive. We need to make it that catches the attention of the people. But it's always the same. The image of the Big Mac from McDonald's always looks better than mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
Something like this. But once you arrive there, and even if it slightly is different, but the quality is really good, then it's okay. And this is similar like with all the job I think that we are doing. We are attracting the people, we want the people to listen. So, and now the message needs to come out. And one definite message about that is, you need to balance out this fact of there are things in this lifetime when you walk that is uniting your thoughts, your community, your feelings with your body, your harmony, or you are more and more moving towards a perspective and also a way of life where separation becomes a very integral part of your worldview. And this one is problematic.
It's really interesting you say that, because I think that's what I'm seeing a lot of, is the separation. And it's like it's getting more fragmented. I mean, since the lockdown till now, it's like every year it's felt like it's getting separated and more fragmented, where, you know, so we take someone like Jordan Peterson, who we've spoken about before, who for me 3 or 4 years ago wasn't that polarizing of a figure. And now if you listen to him, you have to be a certain way, or you have to be. And again, it talks to what we spoke about last year of, it's not about you, Master Shahongyi, it's about the teachings that you're delivering. And it's the same with people like Jordan. It's like, if he's given out the right message, then it's not really about him. We don't need to hang on to people as worship these figures, where if the teachings were good, the teachings were good, and that's enough. And I'm seeing this where we're getting these like tribalism, but it has to be so polarizing. There's no middle ground. Is this something that you think is a phase and we're going to go through, and eventually we're going to reach back to where there is some middle ground, or is it just going to continue to stretch and get even more polarized?
I think that sometimes people pop up in your personal life, but also pop up in public life. Different figures pop up at the right time when it's needed. So if you just look out who at the moment is like really present, let's say, on all the social media, for example, one of them is Dr. Jordan V. Peterson. Yes. You have other names as well. But the thing is like this. He is not there, I think, you don't have to follow 100% of his way of life. But what he has the power of, he can make you think. There are many people out there who can make you think, who can start shaking something inside of you that before you maybe never thought about. And this is the same way. It's really, really helpful in the perspective of, you never have to 100% agree, for example, with somebody says. The important part is to also learn to take the clear distinction. This is the person, and this is his message. And hearing the message, and then asking, okay, is there something about me that is resonating with this type of message? What could I possibly learn if I, for a moment, just dive into the understanding of what that person just shared? I think this is something that is initiating then change inside of you. And this is the ultimate point. People have always asked me also before, so what do you believe in? First of all, I believe in what I have experienced and what I have witnessed from my own eyes. But at the same time, I'm also know about myself that I don't know anything about how huge all of this is. So I cannot deny that if somebody else is sharing or is opening up his opinion, that there might also be a lot of truth behind it. It's just at the moment where I'm standing in life, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but doesn't mean it's wrong. It only means at this moment in time, it is not resonating with myself. Yeah. So that means on the one side, you are constantly in discovery mode, constantly asking, why exactly if I go on YouTube? Meanwhile, of course, there is an algorithm. But why does the algorithm exactly show you some topics? You have asked the questions. That's why the algorithm just gives you possibilities. But these possibilities are all based on whatever you have typed in as a search keyword, or what type of videos you just the last years and years have typed in. So that means what is being displayed on the screen to you, it's your making. it's not necessarily only, yeah, the algorithm, whatever, yeah, but who programmed the algorithm? It was the algorithm programmed based on your behavior, your topics of interest. And that's why sometimes things pop up there. They all relate to something in your life. You know, and then in a way, you also see that, okay, actually all of this is not coincidence. When people come into your life, it's not coincidence. But even with that word coincidence now, I maybe jump a little bit, but in German it's really nice. Now, on the one side, you would say coincidence, it's like it randomly happens. So in a way, yeah, it just happens. It's like this, which is standing in opposition of what we maybe would say is destiny. So everything is planned, everything is written down already, all happens because it has been settled like this. In German, when you take the word coincidence, it is translated as Zufall, Zufall. This means as much as something is falling towards you. Something is falling towards you. An opportunity is falling towards you. You are meeting this person because that person fell on your way. Yeah? Who made it fall on your way? How come it fell to you? Why didn't it fell to me? Why did it fell to you? And so coincidence, Zufall, destiny, something is scripted, something is written, something is settled. There's not a big difference.
Yeah, I love the way you've just explained that, yeah.
And this is interesting, really, that sometimes in like the wordings, the terminology that we already find in the words, in the language from us, I think there are many, many hints, let's say, in a way, already embedded. Yeah, and even now, yeah, just like 2 days ago, I was still in Montenegro holding a workshop. Really had a good time there. Outstanding time. And there it's also the same. Sometimes, yeah, we have all these videos. We make them quality-wise to look really nice. And everybody refers to me as master. The point is, everything that I'm sharing since many years, I just share because these are also the obstacles, these are also the challenges that I'm facing on a daily basis. Why do I know that people are facing these challenges? Because I face them myself. The question is just that after being confronted with a situation, feeling the suffering that arises from it, and then just asking, okay, what can I do to solve this suffering? So what I did in the past was training. Yeah, get that excessive energy, whatever it is, get it out. Yeah, or let's say transform it. Then there are other ways when you become more aware actually what's going on inside of you. It's possible to even not use physical movement and still, let's say, regulate what's going on inside of you. Then the other realization is why does suffering at all sometimes appear? Well, because just like in the teachings, it says one way is because of attachment or because of greed. Yeah, because of greed in a way. Greed, hate, ignorance. So, and why I'm saying this is because I also have my small moments when I just arrived from the flight Montenegro back to Germany, realizing airport in Frankfurt, airport in Munich, all shut down because of the heavy snowfall. At the same time, temperature drop, yeah, from like, let's say 10 degrees Celsius, suddenly down to 3 degrees here. So from an environment where you felt like, oh, there your heart opens, your mind opens, because you have to see the ocean right in front of you. You have this openness. I know it's this what you would consider a special moment. And then you realize now you're coming back to your daily way of life that you know already since so many years. Of course, it changes something also inside of me. Yeah. It's just that I realized it is pointless to keep this unsatisfaction inside of myself in order to move on. I feel it is blocking me. So that's how I came up with trying out different things inside myself also. What can I do thinking wise? What can I do practical wise? What can I do in order to really minimize this, that disbalance? And there the truth is again simply like this. The higher your flight is, the higher your flight was, the steeper is going to be that descent. So it also like gave me again this realization, yes, ultimately it's like this. We have nice moments, yes, but probably not the proper way. But it has a consequence. If you start flying high because the situation allows you to fly high, you can do it. That is why we all have the choice. But there is no other way. It's gonna come down. This is 100% sure. So, and then I just asked myself, okay, but before that, before the flight came, whatever, I was stable. I'm always stable, more or less. Stable meaning, you know, I'm consistent. I'm consistent in whatever I do. But now, like having the flights now dropping down, well, I needed some time to recover from that.
That's what I wanted to ask you about is after the second visit, we totaled the views that we'd seen online at just over 1 billion views. That was, that number is staggering. And I think when we spoke, I don't know if you would call it as pressure, but there was a lot of people looking towards you from those billion views, wanting more and putting you on this pedestal. And I think we spoke last time and there was, I don't know if you would call it a pressure, but there was this notion that you had to perform or be a certain way or fit this narrative. And when we spoke, you was talking about trying to step back. I mean, how has it been the last year? Like, because I feel like now you're coming back into it again and stepping. How's it been? What's the sort of realization been like?
Sometimes you have opportunities coming into your life. I think if they are for a good outcome, if they are for a good reason, for a good contribution to the world, I think these chances you should take. Mm. Yeah, because you never know when something is coming or falling towards you. This is not in my hands. But when I see these things are happening and at the same time my decision would be okay, but I need to step back or whatever, then again, it is the same like the harmony from the outside with your decisions on the inside, they are not matching at the moment. Maybe leading to the fact that you're staying below your level of potential of what you are able to do in this world. Okay? So I understood that meanwhile there is a certain reach. There is quite a huge amount of people who also consider everything that we are sharing as being helpful. And so the first part is, okay, why to stop with this? Yeah, so that was out of argument already. Then I asked myself, but what is the initial reason why I wanted to step back? And this is that whenever and wherever I was traveling, sometimes I meet people that recognize me. But in the past, I always traveled in uniform. Sometimes within the last years, I realized when I was not wearing uniform, for example, and people start to recognize me, then I can see sometimes they... It's not shocking maybe, but it's something along this way that, how can be like he's now in normal uniform? Well, and this is the downside. So the downside of the social media is that it is reflecting a very partial and short area of my life in that sense. You know, we are here meeting now for 2 days, 3 days, and afterwards, all this content that we are creating is being spread throughout the next year, for example. So that means, what do the people see? They see the conversations of 3 days from 365 days that we are doing. So what are we doing the other 363 days, 362 days? Okay. And so I said, no, instead of stepping back because of this, I just start to show the people more about how I normally live. That I'm also one very simple, basic human like everybody else. It's just that when I talk about these type of things, I'm in this world. I'm here with all of this. When I do my training, I do my training. Okay? When I'm called for a job, I do my job. When I go out with my friends, I am friends with my friends. When I go out and, let's say I go out dancing, I dance. Okay. When I drive my car, I drive my car. And when I drive my bike, I drive my bike. And just because I do the one doesn't mean the other things are wrong. No, this is just the beauty of the human being able to take many, many, many identities in this world without the necessity to identify purely and solely as one. The only thing that remains the same throughout everything that I do are principles. No matter which form I take, I have principle guidelines that you find in all of these things. If I want to build up my body, well, I start with the tiniest areas that I have. So that means I want to build up my body, I dissect everything, knowing out of what parts does the body consist. Then I figure out, okay, which type of methods, which type of practices is tackling which area of the body. So by actually dissecting, you get a better idea of the different areas that now need improvement. So actually, it's like you build a puzzle. Yes. When I build my bike, well, first of all, when I get a bike or some friends bring me their bikes, number one is disassemble. Yeah, disassemble, put all the parts like really on the ground so that everything is okay. And then start from the smallest screw on. I start to build it up. And now, on a bigger scale, it's not just about the body. It's not just building a bike. It's not building a car. It's not writing a book. It is about building this lifetime. 100 years. 365 days every year, 24 hours every day. Inside of that, you surrounded by people, your own body or you yourself separated into your emotional world, in the world of what you are thinking, in what your body is perceiving. So I think it is important to know these detailed areas that make a lifetime. Because elsewise, how can you properly adjust this lifetime if you don't know which are the areas that I can have influence on? See? So this is the principle. I always start from the smallest and then I build step by step up.
I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. Today's video was sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food with everything that your body needs. I've been using these guys for the past 2 years. And recently I've added their daily greens to my daily routine. Every morning I take one scoop of daily greens and it means that I'm getting all of my greens every single day and it tastes absolutely delicious. And I have used other daily green products before, or greens products before, and this one is by far the best tasting and also has so many different things in it. And then also I always get my lunch in with a Huel on the go. Also, I've been using the Black Edition protein as well throughout my training process. So if you want to find out more, head to the link in the description where you can get exclusive offers down below with the amazing product of Huel. I also wanted to mention my brother's book is finally published today. If you want to find out more about the Everyday Stoic, William Mulligan, Simple Rules for a Good Life, go to the link in the description. You can also hear some of the Mulligan Brothers stories in this book. Let's dive back into the episode.
That polarizing idea is, you know, the it has to be this or this, I think is a way people see you sometimes as well. Like it has, he has to be like this or he has to, in their heads. But I'd love to, I love hearing you talk about like your bikes and, you know, those kind of things. I mean, I'm sure people would be interested in insight into that. So you build motorcycles up.
Yes.
And you drive them, you're driving around Germany or?
So I have one bike, but which like only has like 29 horsepower, yeah. It's like a Royal Enfield. That this one is the only bike I ride on public roads. Because, you know, anything more than, I don't know, anything more than 100 horsepower on the public road is just not useful. So mainly in general, also in the martial arts, I'm a little, actually I'm kind of like a fiery person. I have some fire inside of me. I can regulate it very well, but sometimes I need the fire. Yeah. In the martial arts, so that means I give quite more action, but the same way also like with the bike, which means I see it as a sports tool. As a sports tool, and therefore actually the majority of my bikes I just use on the racetrack. But there also comes the similarity. When I mess up my form, I know why I messed it up. Because I lost my focus. Because I lost the connection, my mind lost the connection to all these small areas of my body. I lost for a second taking into consideration one area of my body. And when I slip on the bike and mess up like this, I also know why. Because again, I lost the awareness for the connection to my bike and the bike afterwards to the tires, let's say. I lost the feeling. I lost the moment. Things go wrong because you lose the moment. Because something is taking you from that moment. That's why things go wrong. It's like you cut a carrot. Why you cut your finger? Because you didn't cut the carrot. Cutting the carrot means it's like you, on the one hand, you hold the carrot, you feel it's coming out there. The blade, you feel when it touches the carrot. It just didn't cut yet, but you can sense that there is a different type of pressure. So if you would pressure, now I cut. I feel the pressure, now I cut. I feel the pressure, now I cut. If this type of awareness is present, how can you cut your finger? You cut your finger because because of this. Yeah, and so that means I see it, so it's principle-based. Why things go wrong, it's principle-based. Why do you suffer? Because it's principle-based. Because I have failed to put these life principles in proper understanding, into proper practice. Yes. So, and this is like what is important for me. This is why also, are you Buddhist? Yes and no. Yeah. What matters to me is, at the moment, I feel that I have what I consider as this is lifetime. I can observe around, based on my actions, how this lifetime can feel for me. And I have decided for myself, I don't want to have carry something along my daily life, which is like closing me down. I feel like the proper way, the more living aligned way is the one that opens up. It's the one that starts to connect more and more. Also like discovering more and more, even if I don't know something yet, interestingly to talk to you and diving into a world that I haven't seen before. It's an interesting fact. Why would I feel offended by this? My message therefore is, oh, okay, I'm already 40 years on this world. How come I missed that one? So that means this type of approach to actually, you constantly are in discovery mode.
Yeah.
You constantly are in saying, I know a few things quite well, but it doesn't stop. This is the general approach, what I consider as it gives you purpose, it gives you sense, it fills up your day. Why? Because there are so many people just left from you, right from you, in your street, in your neighborhood. If you would just find a way to connect to them, life's not going to get boring anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you suffer because of your own life, because of your own one-way street, yeah, why? Well, then go out of that one-way street. There are many other pathways. Yeah. So, and this is what I consider. This is my life principle. I don't care as what somebody is identifying himself with, what type of teaching he's following. As long as the teaching is not ultimately ending with somehow the emphasis on connecting more and more, meaning actually including more and more into your worldview, I think that teaching is lacking something. It's not necessarily wrong, but it's lacking something.
That's what I wanted to speak to you about, actually. We had an experience this year, myself and Niamh. We went to, I won't name the name, but we went to a spiritual leader, and it was a different philosophy for what, from, you know, this idea that you have where you can learn from everybody and to have an openness. The philosophy was more about, it was a lot to do with like worship and to stick to a very specific script and to worship one person. And this one person was the all-seeing, all-being. It sounds like I'm describing religion, but it was, you know, it was very much like this situation for a person. And it just didn't sit right with me. And there's something off about it. But I am curious, as in Buddhism or in Shaolin, like these figureheads and the idea of worshiping them. Is it built into some of the teachings that you have to, you know, bow to the feet of people, you know, that kind of thing? And how do you balance that, but also like have the self-respect and, you know, balance those two kind of things?
If you would like to learn Kung Fu, you can't go to a Muay Thai teacher. If you want to learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you can't go to a piano teacher. You want to learn snake form, snake style, you need to find a master. You need to find someone who possesses that type of style. What makes a style different from another? It's because it's based on different methods that are used within the teaching curriculum, which means if you say, I want to learn monkey style, and I look at what you are training, for example, well, then you can actually tell, if somebody knows, if it fits actually to what you want to achieve. And so definitely you can say this is wrong. Yeah, so when I talk about, it's about inclusion, it's about connecting, it's about, let's say, in a way, also tolerance, but it's also this type of realization. If you want something very specific, if there is a focus of what you want to achieve, there is definitely a wrong and a right. Yeah. For example, in the martial arts as well. But in my world, meanwhile, I don't care about snake style. I don't care about praying mantis style. I don't care about any specific northern style, southern style. I want to know what makes these styles possible at all in the first place. So I don't focus on this, not focus on this, not on this, on this. It would be focusing on, there's the hand. It's the hand in the first place, which makes this possible, that one I can't show, this possible and this possible. They all derive from this basis, from the hand. I want to know about the hand. I don't want to get stuck in this one. So that means no matter which teacher it is, which spiritual guide it is, because I don't know him, it might be that he has one very specific direction that he would like to guide his students or his disciples or his follower towards. And so therefore I can understand that in order to reach exactly this goal, there is this way. What I do is, I don't believe in one specific way. I believe that 8 billion people have 8 billion ways, 8 billion fingers, and I care about how does that hand look that is able to express itself in 8 billion fingers. My focus is on the hand. And this is ultimately just the thing. So it's just a switch in the mind which makes the difference. And so for me, when I hear this, it's absolutely fine. Yeah? I would never say that person is wrong or whatever. It just depends on what is your overall perspective you are talking about and you are emphasizing. And because for me personally, the world of forms is limited. The world of forms is limited. No matter which style you practice, you're going to lose it at the end. As long as you have focus on one, you're going to lose the one. You bring one to life, that one is going to just, whatever you bring up, it's just going to come down. Okay? And this is now again, you know, like I told you, just with the fingers and the hands. This is now similar, like those sayings, there can't be the waves without the ocean. There can't be the clouds without the sky. And there can't be you without something that is realizing you are you. You know? The fundamental basics of the basis, the foundation of existence. This is what is interesting to me. And there I think there's one that connects us. But I don't dare to give that one a name. I don't know.
Mm. I think that's the issue. People want you to. Like, I think a lot of the questions are like, you know, what's his belief on this, this, and this? So I think people want that from you. But yeah, no, I like the way you've put that. I like that a lot. The, you know, who we are is made up. There's a large portion that's made up through our experiences and, you know, a lot of that experiences when we're young and we're a child and, you know, the world is new and different to us. And I think us growing up, I had a big family, I had my brothers around me, and we were inspired by all these different things. And I'm curious as to what inspired you. You know, what can you see looking back if there's anything that led you to this point as in those younger, earlier days?
I don't feel well when I suffer. Okay, let's start like this. I don't feel well when I suffer. So of course, I am interested to know how can I make the period shorter of the suffering, or how can I accelerate that the suffering starts to transform and I would return back to another state. And therefore training has for many years and many years has always been my valve.
As I said, the same for us. We have always had training, physical training. It's why my sister powerlifts. It's why Luke and William, we used to do calisthenics. We in our back garden, we'd have scaffold and we'd build it into apparatus to do pull-ups and chin-ups. And we were always fortunate to have each other to compete against and fight against and in a competitive way. So when you were younger, what did the training look like?
It was my normal kung fu training. It's just like the amount of time, how often are you repeating the form?
Mm.
How often are you repeating like the repetition of your push-ups? How often are you punching the bag?
How much of that was chosen? Like how as a kid, how much was you going, I'm gonna choose to do push-ups, I'm gonna choose to do...
I mean, you know, I jump a little bit. When people come here, sometimes they are afraid the training is too hard. Okay? It's not gonna be the exercise that I'm giving you which is gonna be harder. I'm just gonna say we're gonna do push-ups right now. So now you can just like stand on the ground and your push-up is like this. Okay? So let's say your immersion into the exercise is quite low. But if you do just one push-up, really going down and feel everything under tension and then go up, so which means you are actually the one deciding how much effort, how much precision are you putting actually into that one exercise. That is what makes the difference. And so the teacher also, when I was young, he just said, okay, do this, do this, do that. Yeah, but the intensity, let's say the seriousness that you put into there in regards to yourself, to really push yourself and use that method to change something about you, this is completely up to you. Nobody knows when inside of you the struggle starts, you know, that struggle. And where is like, and then when that point comes, where still out of nothing or wherever it comes, still suddenly based on your thoughts, based on whatever you are creating in the mind or whatever, suddenly the last piece also comes out. Mm. So this is like something like an internal force. That internal force either coming from hope, coming from thinking about a loved one, many ways. Mm. But if you find something that suddenly can give you that boost, I think it's something really special to discover something that the human can do this.
Yeah, I think as kids, I had the biggest inspiration. My brothers will attest to this, I believe. My mom was a single mom, 7 kids, shoestring budget, and we watched her raise us through absolute grit and determination. So for us, we had that inspiration to work hard because we saw our mother do it. And I'm curious, is there a point in your life that you remember where you would draw from that power? Like, was it from inspiration? Was it a loved one?
So on the one side, after transforming the suffering or taking the suffering as the reason now to do more intensity training, first of all, when these moments happened, I realized after the training, the suffering, first of all, was less. That's number one. Second thing is the same reason why I suffered before when it somehow came again. Didn't felt so ground shaking anymore like the first time. So meaning something started to grow already based on this training. So for me, it was like, okay, all the suffering is your chance to grow. This is how also then I just started shifting. Meaning, I didn't regard suffering as something bad anymore that I don't want to have, let's say. Yeah. Meanwhile, it is like the suffering comes because either I was not properly prepared enough, because I'm still missing something, I'm still missing a hint, whatever, but it is the chance for me to discover something more about me. And this is actually that what always has motivated me. That is not going to get boring when you take it as a life challenge, as a life purpose, find a way to end the suffering. If you need a life purpose, that's the one.
Wow. That concept of chosen suffering versus unchosen suffering, like life will take a loved one from you. How much has it helped you to have chosen suffering through training, through the martial arts and those kind of practices, just and discipline in general, and choosing that life of suffering at times? How much has it helped you to process unchosen suffering, like when life hits you with, you know, the death of a loved one or illness or something like that? Has it helped you along the way?
Kung Fu training, walking through the valley of pain, that's how is it known. Mm. Buddhist teaching, a method to help you overcome the suffering. The physical training, always putting you right onto the limit where the suffering or the pain, let's say, starts mentally or physically, and then you hopefully have a good teacher or a good group dynamic that is pushing you beyond that suffering or pain. Now, this is the way of growth. So number one is suffering is an essential ingredient of the life that we humans are living. So therefore, I think it's necessary to build up your personal relationship. What does it mean when suffering appears in your life? And in my opinion, ignoring, no way, it's going to come back. Running away from it, impossible. The pain is running faster. The suffering runs faster than you. It's going to come back again. There's only one way, I really think it is. You need to push through. I know what I want, but when the suffering comes and now somebody tells me you need to push through, do you have the mental, do you have the physical abilities to push through? And if you say no, well, then we need to develop them. And we develop them very, very lightly with small things. Yeah, you can't have your thoughts, or you can't sit still for 5 minutes. Let's start with 2. Okay? The 2 are okay. Okay, let's move up 3 minutes. Move up 5 minutes. Move up 10 minutes. Okay, now your mind can be still for 10 minutes. Let's increase the pressure on you. Instead of just sitting like silently, nothing moving, let's give you more disturbance, which means this time we go into a horse stance. So now let's start again. Try 10 minutes to not think about the suffering, to think about the pain, to let the pain and the shaking and the burning, to not let it disturb you. Now, we have created a new circumstance in order for you to test. How did your 10 minutes ability to keep the mind steady can now be applied to the moment of that additional pressure. And then we expand this all to now the real life pressure that comes when unexpected things hit your life. There it is the same. How much, for how long, can you maintain your unbroken state? Okay? And this is the practice. This is where it leads to.
We get a lot of questions about that, and I think a lot of people arrive at your teachings and some of our videos in a position where they were ill prepared, and they hadn't prepared. So just off what you just said, if they were ill prepared and life hits them on the blind side and something difficult happens, they just have to stop there. They have to start learning how to regulate that pain and how to process the difficulties that they're going through.
Even if I don't show, but I have, right now, I have my painful things I go through. But first of all, I see the pain as the chance. This is the one thing. And on the other side is also like this. I can see in the whole way how this life has also developed for me. There was no price without investing effort. Bottom line. Nothing today I am proud of. Nothing today I really appreciate deeply from my heart. Nothing of that came quick. It always involved a lot of sweat and suffering and pushing through and having patience and being persistent, being consistent, in a way having hope, not giving up, and trusting all of these things. So, and this is why for me right now, even if I feel it, but I have a different relationship to it. So it's even that normally the suffering even doesn't become less. I mean, yeah, you are being challenged with more suffering. To really see how much have you learned. How much have you learned? You talk the whole time. You share the things. How much have you learned yourself? I feel I'm tested like this. Yeah, and therefore, for me, what is my motivation? Well, to walk the talk, very simple.
It's really nice to hearing you talk about hard work and determination and all those kind of things, because I do think it's misunderstood somewhat. And one of the things we've spoken about briefly before, but I do like the way you talk about it. You have a mission here. You have a mission in life. You have a mission at the Shaolin Temple Europe, and you put a lot of time, dedication, effort to make that come true and to make that happen. And there is the word that is looked down upon in some circles of social media is ambition. In my eyes, I see you as a very ambitious person, and some of the goals that you've achieved and you continue to work towards are very lofty goals. And I would love to hear a little bit more. We've spoken about it before, but a little bit more on how do you balance ambition but not be too invested in the results as well. Because I think a lot of people invest in the wrong results, you know, the fame, the success, the money, and all these kind of things. Like, how do you avoid investing in that, but also have ambition to achieve your goals, which have a good reason to exist, especially with the Shaolin Temple Europe?
Like, of course, in the beginning, in order to at all start this whole idea, I needed to have an injection. Meaning injection from the bank in that time, taking that credit, yeah?
Yeah.
So, of course, in the very beginning, the numbers mattered. Making the calculations, making the business plan, making the forecast or anything like this. But after some time, things started just developing and these numbers became really unimportant. More important and in the foreground came to me, what made it grow? And I think what made it grow was, again, everything that I just told you about, what makes you grow also personally, to take the suffering, to take determined, to in a way have hope, to trust in something bigger, to trust in yourself, to build up confidence, to stay disciplined, to take out the laziness, to have consistency. Yeah, it comes back again. Now just applied into something bigger than just yourself. Now it starts to be an organization. And so you see the organization grows. Also meaning the community, the people that are involved and engaged in this organization also grow. Then I can see how did the people, my master brothers, all the disciples, how did they look physically? In what state of the mind have they been mentally? How are they emotionally? I normally don't talk a lot, even if people don't don't believe it. I'm not a talker at all. Yeah, but I think I can sense quite good. I can sense the state of people. And so this is how I got to know my community when they first came. Now the monastery grew, the organization grew, and I can also feel like each one of them is growing in these type of fields. So there's growth in my life. I can feel the growth in my life. So. And this is what, until today, is being the main point that determines all of my decision. Whatever I do, I try to sense what is going to be the consequence of it. If the consequence is more expansion, it's for me the proper way. This is what motivates me. Because why more expansion? That only means for me, I am crossing lines, I am crossing borders, I'm crossing a limit. Why does it matter to me? Because the whole life I realize that when you are putting limitations to yourself, you always stay small and never get into the glimpse of what this complete universe and life actually has for a potential for you to discover. But this is dependent upon what is your mindset. You want to stay small? You can, of course, stay small, but I have a different mindset. Not saying everybody has to have that one. Me as a human being, I just grew up like this, maybe even based on my birth date, I don't know. Also some things people sometimes care about. I have a different personality. And this personality is constantly searching, constantly wanting to know what is beyond the border. And that's why, and this is why maybe that my personality was quite well fitting to the fact of building this up. And why everything went exactly the way as it went. Yeah. And I feel at the same time, I feel like this way of life, the things I'm engaging in, yeah, also like with the technical things, you know, I feel like it's resonating so much actually with the way how I am anyway am. And so this is what makes me feel like it's a nice way. I am surrounded by people that say that I like, by people that I constantly see, and everybody's always developing from year to year, all of you as well. You know, I wouldn't like, or let's say like this, if you would come here, I know how you look the first year, I know how you look the second year, and I know how you look this year. If I would sense something about you would go down, emotionally wise, physically wise, or anything like this, well, then I would talk to you. Mm-hmm. You see? But the thing is, we're all on a good path. And I'm asking myself, why? Because the ambition is not money driven.
Yeah.
Because that now we have financial possibilities is the result of the initial cause that we have planted. And that one simply is growth. And along the way of growth, meaning having more influence, having more possibilities, money is also like this. It's not just about money. We started to get more people. We have more possibilities to place things. There is growth. The question is, for what are we going to use it also? And this is also a way to remind ourselves, it's not that money corrupts. It only, money only brings out something that you anyway already have. It just brings it out. But if you don't have it inside, there can't come corruption from it. It only gonna show up the corruption if already from the beginning on you were corrupted.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you do see it sometimes, you do, and some people have great success and it doesn't happen to them. So yeah, I completely agree with that. I want to finish this up actually with some personal advice I'm going to ask for, because yeah, it has been 3 years and we come back each year and we're the same. Like we see the growth of the temple has been incredible. Like what we've seen, what the work you guys do across the world and yourself is just incredible. And something that I'm trying to step into in 2024 is I want to go and share some of my own story with, you know, the loss of my son. I want to really try and help people by sharing parts of that story. And I always feel like there's still, I feel like I'm getting through it, but spiritually, being at the Shaolin Temple, I want to come here and ask you the question of like, if there's something blocking me from sharing that message, how can I go around healing or processing to be able to share that story with other people?
You can't share what you don't have. Let's start with this one. You can't share with what you don't have. Now you had an, let's say, unfortunate incident happening in your lifetime, and you know there are other people as well in this world who have the same or who are dealing with similar situations. So what the emphasis is, you want to display to them a way which maybe helps them more easily to move on, or also to find a reasoning to reduce the suffering that derived from it. The very, very first thing I think for you to do is try out for yourself, in order for you that you can really say that you have the answer for it. Mm. To have for yourself the answer. You heal yourself from that suffering completely first. When you have managed this for yourself and you say, I'm now absolutely okay with it, I know why, and I know how I'm going to transform this. When you have it, when you have this peace of saying this, when you have the peace of feeling it inside of yourself, then it's the right time to go out. Mm-hmm. Because now you have it to go out. But to go out right now, but it's still unsolved within you, is just gonna also, it's not the proper way. Yeah, this is why deal with it for yourself, really go in. And then I think you're gonna find the way.
I agree with that completely. I think, and that's the process I would say I'm on, but what's the going in look like? Like, what is the healing process look like for, you know, if you've had disciples or people come to you in the past, like how would you tell them to find a way to heal?
I am not a psychotherapist, for example, yeah? That's why on the one side, if there are specialists focusing on something, I definitely would consult them and maybe ask for their advice. You know, it's really difficult in a way for me to say about such specific situations because it feels different when it happens, mm-hmm. Okay? But my difficult situations, I have also lost people. What keeps me going is that I trust in what I continuously share out all the time. I'm not looking for the single systems, for the single forms. I want to know where all of them come from. Because my fundamental understanding is, my fundamental belief is, there is one source. It might be at a moment like this that I don't 24 hours a day have the feeling of being within that source. Because it feels like I'm speaking out of this body. But still, there is that side of me in search for that unity. If that unity, if that one is there, there's no one I could have ever lost. I just lose them because I'm constantly stuck inside of this at the moment. Why are you suffering? Because you are the person who suffers. You can always only suffer because there's something about you. Yeah, and that is exactly it.
Yeah.
Then I ask the question, okay, but who are you? Identify yourself properly. Like, what? Who are you? Like, are you these clothes that you're wearing? Or is it this body together with the clothing that makes you you? Or must it be the clothing, the body, the skin color, and the eye color, and also the same name that makes you you? And so, and there, I'm in a different understanding. Yeah, I have been there in the first moment. I even have been there already in the womb of the mother. There we have been already. Everything afterwards, Shiheng Yi, came afterwards. In the womb of my mother, I was there already. Not even having my worldly name, not even having a monastic name, didn't really care about like which religion I belong to as what I identify myself. I was there, I know I was there. This is like a return to the source and want to know even the beginning of that. This is what I'm interested in. And because I have this weird way of thinking, this is why I think when there is the connection, it's the connection. And everything that now maybe happens, maybe it just happened, these type of things, in order for you to start the search. Because for me, this thought that it's existing, this gives me all the power. This gives me all the motivation to come back and see everyone again.
I love that. And I just wanted to add one last thing to that, because that was absolutely wonderful. It was a discussion we had a few years ago, William, where you'd said something like, you might actually not be able to pull it up better than me, but it was like, you don't care about a random stranger's family member dying. Like, it doesn't have an impact on you. It's you who's invested in the loss of that person.
Yeah, it's the way you interpret events.
The way you interpret events, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, my brilliant brother's kind of delivered the same lesson to me as well. But, yeah, I think that's what I need to do, is trying to return to that. And I am on the healing path at the moment. Like, that's kind of where I feel like I'm at. And what a great place to start, in the Shaolin Temple Europe. So we've got a few more conversations to be had. And I can't thank you enough for having us. And we're all excited to be doing this again. Yeah, and just thank you for joining us.
You're always a pleasant guest to come, Jordan, anytime. Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching this episode with Master Xiang Yi at the Shaolin Temple Europe. Thank you to Huel for sponsoring the video. Check out the exclusive offers down below. Honestly, this is the best stuff. It's helped me stay in shape and also get everything that my body needs, my nutrition, my protein, my fuel, whilst I lead a busy life. And it's cheaper than any meal I could prepare as well. So it's absolutely unbelievable. And also, a massive proud moment, guys. If you've been supporting the Mulligan Brothers over the years, you'll know William. William is one of the Mulligan Brothers. He's been editing all of these projects. He's on the shoots with Master Xiang Yi. You've probably watched some of his episodes with Master Xiang Yi on the Everyday Stoic channel. Little do people know that William actually is a little bit of a philosopher himself, and he's been working on this book for the last year, and it's finally been published by Penguin, which is absolutely mind-blowing. Some people's life goals, he's achieved it. I know it's like a huge moment for him. And yeah, The Simple Rules for a Good Life by William Mulligan, The Everyday Stoic, is now available to order, linked down below. It does have some of the Mulligan Brothers story in, but what you will definitely find in this book is the bridging of the gap of Stoic philosophy, ancient philosophy, philosophy that has been littered throughout the human race, the time span of the human race, that is the best, in my opinion, from some of the greatest philosophers, and the gap between our everyday lives and how to apply it to our everyday lives. I've read some Stoic books. There is no Stoic book like this. This is absolutely genius in its simplest form of how to apply Stoicism to your day-to-day life. So if you want to find out more, head to the link in the description where you can order the book today. And yeah, I'm so proud. It's absolutely amazing moment for the Mulligan brothers and for William Mulligan. And yeah, super cool. Thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting us. I hope you're excited about this as I am. It's pretty wild. We'll be sending some copies out to the Shaolin Temple Europe for Master Xiang Yi to read. And yeah, comment down below if you've ordered the first edition book. Let me know down below. Yeah, and keep your eyes peeled for William doing signings as well and stuff like that. That will be, William will be going on tour at some point to promote the book as well. Thank you for watching. Have a blessed and productive day, and I will see you in the next one. Peace.
I realize you go higher, you go even more alone. I had the idea, you want to reach more people. Somehow it's gonna be easier for you, because maybe people are somehow gonna help you up on the way. I don't know what type of, but it's not like this.
We've had a lot of people reach out and ask how you personally have tolerated loneliness in your life when you've been on these sort of journeys.
I felt like walking up a mountain. Why? Because the higher I walk the mountain, the more I can speak out, and the whole valley is gonna hear it. You can't see the proper light if you have never indulged in the very, very deepest dark times.